You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You and Me Both is a production of iHeartRadio.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and this is You and Me Both. I don't know about you, but the number one thing that keeps me up at night these days is the fragile state of democracy in our country. Over the past years, we've lived through some alarming assaults that have been decades in the making. You know, I saw unnerving signs that there were those who wanted to undermine our institutions, destroy the rule of law, rig and take over our elections, and not make it possible for a lot of people to fully participate. I saw all of that as a first lady, a senator, a presidential candidate, a secretary of state. And yet, even with all of that, I am surprised at how far these efforts have come. I may not hold public office anymore, but I remain as committed as ever to doing everything I can to protect and preserve our democracy. And over the course of this season of You and Me Both, we're going to take a hard look from various vantage points about the state of our democracy. I'll be talking to experts and leaders and advocates who are doing incredible work on the front lines. Today, to kick us off, we're looking at how our democracy is doing at the state and local level, which, sad to say, is not so great. Now, later, we're going to hear from a phenomenal young elected public servant out of Texas, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo. But first, I'm talking to Ohio-based political strategist David Pepper. David is someone I've known and admired for quite some time. Back in his home state of Ohio, he has served on the Cincinnati City Council and as chairman of the Ohio Democratic Party. David's the author of a new book called Laboratories of Autocracy. And he explains in the book about all the ways that a state and its powers can impact on our lives, He's got an incredible grasp of what's happening, not only in Ohio, but more generally at the state level. And he's got a way of explaining it so that we can all understand. So that's why I'm so excited to have him on this podcast. The first question I had for David is, what led him to write this new book? What was he seeing in his state of Ohio and beyond across our country?
I had no intention of writing a book at all last year, but by about April, my level of alarm about the state level attacks on democracy that most folks don't see or the media doesn't cover got so heightened that I started frantically writing this book to sound the alarm. And the subtitle is A Wake-Up Call from Behind the Lines. And that's right. Literally why I wrote it, was to say, all those out there, you know, in different parts of the country, you have to pay attention to these state house attacks on democracy. They're relentless and they're effective. And if we don't do something about them in almost every way we think about politics, they will continue in downward spiral. And even since I've written it, it's gotten worse. So I appreciate the chance to talk about it today.
Well, the title of your book, Laboratories of Autocracy, is a play on the wonderful phrase from Supreme Court Justice Brandeis, his idea that states are the laboratories of democracy. In other words, you know, states could try different things, how best to provide health care or educate kids, all kinds of experimentation, which then could be proven at the state level and other states could follow, and even the national federal government could learn. And so the idea that you took what was viewed as a very positive description of what states could do, laboratories of democracy, and turned it on its head to be laboratories of autocracy, I think goes right to the heart of the problem. Most people, David, don't know or realize how much power state legislatures, state governments have.
Right. And Justice Brandeis was right. You know, we've seen, whether it was the Affordable Care Act coming out of state ideas, whether it was the battle to create marriage equality, that was state level momentum. I turned the title on its head because folks turned the role of states on their head over the last 40 years. And, you know, this sounds disrespectful. There are a lot of good state reps working very hard. But the broader point is that state houses basically have emerged as the Achilles heel of American governance because of a mismatch. Huge amounts of power. No one knows about it. That's not good for democracy. The power is over almost every issue we care about in politics, economics, social policy, climate change. But then there's also the immense power over democracy itself. You know, they set the rules of the elections for the most part, although Congress can and should do more to fight back on those. They draw the district lines, as Donald Trump figured out too late, but it's the fact. They control the electoral college process in many ways. So huge power over the substantive things we all care about, and then a huge power over democracy itself. Almost no one knows, but here's the bad news. Certain insiders figured it out. As you pointed out for years, decades ago, and if certain insiders figure it out with a lot of money and the average person doesn't know it, things get ugly real quick. And that's sort of what the book walks through.
Well, I think it's such an important point, and I tried to sound the alarm starting in the 90s, that there really was a well-organized and extremely well-funded effort to take over state houses, state elected offices, state judicial systems, local offices, and not just to wield power, but to wield power for purposes that sadly redound to the benefit of those on the right, corporate power, ideological power, even in some cases, religious power. And Donald Trump sort of lit an even bigger fire under it. And so now, clearly, it's on steroids. But let's start with Ohio, because that's where you've been living and working most of your adult life. I mean, one of the things I was surprised about when I was running for president in 2016 is how effectively the Ohio government apparatus had purged voters, millions of Ohio voters who had voted in 2008 and 2012, mostly for Barack Obama, were wiped from the voting rules. And I did not know that until, you know, I got into it.
Yeah. there's a group of people who understand that their worldview would not survive in a robust democracy.
Right.
Trickle-down economics would not survive in a robust democracy. Too many people are left out. Attacking Roe v. Wade nonstop. The crazy gun laws. None of that would survive in a world of robust democracy. They know that. So while we're fighting over elections, they're fighting democracy itself, because only by keeping it at bay can they get their worldview in place long term. They need suppressed democracy. So decades ago, they understood that state houses are the heart of democracy, and they could weaponize state houses to both, you know, get their substantive ends done in undemocratic state houses, as well as use state houses to subvert democracy. Therefore, they could get a worldview that's a minority view that would not survive in a diverse majority, which we are today. And that's really what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. In Ohio, we are the canary in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, we weren't just blue in 08 for Obama. Ted Strickland was the governor, our good friend. We had a Democratic state house. And what they showed over the next decade, they were so furious that Obama turned Ohio blue in 08, not just because it was about the presidency. What happened when he won in 08? That Obama coalition won us the state house. Mm-hmm. We had 10 members out of 18 of Congress, Democrats did, after 08. So the Obama coalition, more than just Obama, was this massive threat. And as we saw beginning in 10, they went to town, intentionally going after the coalition that they knew was a threat long term, that represented the majority that would otherwise never let them accomplish their substantive goals. So they went after early vote, because that was the way that Obama coalition voted disproportionately. They went after young voters. But the tool they used in Ohio that was so effective, like Georgia, was purging. And by the way, just to be clear to voters who may not know this, you can update your voting rolls quite simply based on who's passed away and who's moved. The post office generates the list of who's moved on a regular basis. Health departments generate lists of who's passed away. That's not hard to do. It's the 21st century. In Ohio, they also are purging people who vote infrequently.
That's right.
That's the net that has caught up millions of voters, disproportionately Obama voters, your voters, Democratic voters. And as I walk through in the book, in your campaign, Herculean effort to find those purge voters in 16, months of it. But even with the resources and the capacity of your campaign, it's what everyone was focused on. We all worked hard and we worked together. I was a chair then to get them all registered. We still didn't come close to how many had been purged. And by the way, that also meant we weren't using resources to talk to swing voters or register voters, because we were doing everything we could to get those unregistered voters back on. So they end up forcing you to burn everything at both ends, and it has a massive impact. It's a devastating case study that when they decide to target the electorate that's defeating them, it works. So why did they fail in 20? Well, one reason is this mechanism of voting drop boxes that no one's ever cared about before. Drop boxes are in Anchorage, Alaska. They're in Salt Lake City, Utah. No one cared. But in 20, those drop boxes were disproportionately used by voters of color. So now what are they doing? They targeted the Obama coalition with early vote and purging. Now it's drop boxes. And this is why I reject the notion we'll just out-organize all this. Of course, we need to organize as hard as we ever have. But the response to voter suppression enacted by law must also be government pushing back at the federal level. To just say to your volunteers or future volunteers, just go organize. In some states, that will work. But when it's close enough and the suppression is brutal enough, the greatest volunteer effort in the world is not going to be enough to overcome the kind of suppression we're talking about. So the whole point of the book is to say, if we don't start engaging at the state level, ending gerrymandering when we can, but running in every district to at least hold them accountable, that lack of accountability is how everything else keeps going. And we're seeing that in painful ways in states like Ohio.
Well, I know our listeners cannot see me nodding vigorously in agreement with you, David, but it is heartbreaking to me on several counts. One, that we have this well-organized, well-funded effort to upend democracy, to seize power, to promote what are truly unpopular, less than majority points of view, and that the other side is relentless. And I think it's important for people to understand who's behind this. Where did this really all come from, in your opinion?
So it's in convergence of several things. You know, a lot of it was driven by dollars. The Koch brothers, a worldview ideology of trickle-down economics that they view any kind of stronger government as a threat to, because it's going to pass regulations or enact tax policies that they view takes their dollars and it goes beyond them. It goes to a broader population. They don't like the type of economics that, you know, President Clinton led and Democrats always lead on, which is a middle class based economy. They view that as taking from them. That's a big part of it. And that's what's funding, you know, I don't go through all the acronyms, but ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the Heritage Foundation, the people funding that are largely, you know, people like the Koch brothers, large corporations that view any government interference with their quote unquote economic liberty as a threat. But we also need to acknowledge we have this very sad history of white backlash whenever there's a diverse majority that arises in our country and saying, okay, we're gonna run the show. It happened after the Reconstruction. You know, huge numbers of registered black voters in the South, more black voters than white voters in states like Louisiana. They were electing black mayors and council members and state house speakers and even members of Congress. Backlash was fierce. You know, allegations of voter fraud, violence, and that backlash led to a century of Jim Crow. We saw it, you know, after the civil rights movement and the laws of the 60s, you know, all of a sudden the Southern strategy. We saw it after Obama win. As Isabel Wilkerson writes, Obama winning in many ways was this shock to this world that doesn't want a diverse majority. He symbolized it. That Obama coalition symbolized it. What happens 2011? Boom. They immediately push back. And obviously, the prospect that large numbers of African-American voters in Atlanta and Detroit and Philadelphia elected Biden and Harris also triggers this fierce backlash. So there's economics, but there's also that very somber history. And again, I wrote my book frantically for several reasons. One is I have a 5 and a 7-year-old, and I don't want them spending the rest of their lives fighting for a democracy that we lost. Number two, when I look at the history, the lessons of what we have to do are so clear from that history that I want to write it down and have people read it. Because I think if you see the similarities to what led to not a decade of Jim Crow, but generations of Jim Crow are so stark that if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will.
We're taking a quick break. Stay with us.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know, when you concentrate on Ohio, which, you know, is such an important state in every way, but particularly in elections, as you right. know so well, you really bring it alive and shine a bright spotlight on what's happening in your state. And I guess I would have to ask, why are local politicians more invisible to everyday voters than they once were? How much of that is due to the fact that we don't have local newspapers yeah. in most places? We have what are called, you know, news deserts, where there are no reporters covering City Hall anymore.
It's a huge part of it. I always think about it this way. What are the things that make the Koch brothers happy? And let's figure out how to do the opposite, okay?
That's a good
and
question.
And what do they love? They love that no one covers state houses. They uh-huh. love that local papers are dying. So that local state rep, who everyone used to know, people don't even know what that person's doing. They love that in Ohio, you know, a third of the races, the average margin of victory for a decade was 50% or more, 75-25. So no one even knew an election was happening. So the point is, yes, what you described is one of the key ways that there's no awareness. State House bureaus are dying. Ohio, by the way, we have a very strong one. There's still a City Hall reporter in Cincinnati, but a lot of cities, the State House people are the first to go. It's further away. It's a bigger expense. They have to live up there. And then the local papers just disappearing. Not bigger cities, but smaller. Like I said, that means that the coverage of the individual office holder from, you know, Mansfield or from Manchester, no coverage whatsoever. So that combination is bad. And I'll just give a couple other layers for this. You know, one other aspect that's often overlooked is that a lot of the institutional knowledge of these papers is also getting hollowed out. When you and I, you know, would go to newspapers to get endorsements, you would have six or seven members of an editorial board. Many of those editorial boards are either gone or down to one person, just like you have, you know, these long-term columnists that understand state houses, that know what a gerrymandered or a crazy budget looks like. They're all gone. So not only is the coverage of the facts much less intense or hardly at all there, but the people can provide a less heated analysis than Twitter or cable, who could say right now, which needs to be said, the current attempt to gerrymander Ohio is absurd.
Yeah.
And don't take it yes. from David Pepper, a Democrat. Take it from us at this paper. We've seen this for 30 years. This is the worst we've ever seen. All that institutional knowledge is also gone because they can't afford it. So if the State House business in Columbus gets no attention, and the elections essentially are predetermined, no one knows what's happening. And here's the worst part. There's a double whammy to this. We now have, because of gerrymandering, an entire generation of both office holders and citizens who essentially don't think of their state house politics as a democracy. They've never really had a choice over these things. And that's really damaging long term.
Oh, I agree completely. Well, let's switch to the recommendations that you make, because you end the book, which is so gripping, and I highly recommend it to everyone. But you end with a bunch of strategies to get our states back from being laboratories of autocracy to truly laboratories of democracy. And you reframe the whole discussion that we should be having at the you know, national, state, local, even individual level. So why don't you run through some of those, David?
Sure. So let me just, the way I try and frame it is, you have one side that has believed that democracy is intact, us, and we generally focus on federal elections to get the substantive outcomes we want, right? And that generally means we go to swing states where we can get our federal majorities for president, Senate, and House. The other side is not battling that battle. They are in a very different battle. Their battle, because they know democracy is inconsistent with their worldview, their battle is against democracy itself. They fight their battle everywhere, every year, at all levels. And as my seven-year-old who plays soccer would even observe, if one side's always on offense everywhere, and you're playing in a few states in a few years, who's going to win?
Right.
They're going to win. They are winning because of this. We have to change our mindset first and foremost. We got to go to where the battle really is, which is where they're taking it, democracy itself. That reframes everything. And I go through all the specific ways everyone can take part, but big picture, what does that mean? First, you adjust your mindset. This is a long game battle. The best near-term example, Stacey Abrams. She knew Georgia was a long struggle for democracy. If she had simply given up every time Georgia was red, we wouldn't have a blue Georgia. Mm-hmm. Even when she didn't quite win the 18 governor's election because of a very tainted process by the opponent, even that day where she stood up and said, I'm not going to be governor, she said, we made progress. She has a long game mindset. Mm-hmm. She knew every voter that voted in her record turnout, every registered voter, every door knock was progress. 2 years later, who was right? She was.
Exactly.
She knew that it was a long game. So change the frame of everything as, are you building toward the long game or aren't you? Measure your success accordingly. It also means get out of only thinking about swing states. If you're competing for democracy, no state should not have a democracy. It's guaranteed in the Constitution that everyone have a Republican form of government. Make that real. So we should reframe our political approach, fighting for democracy all over the country. And that also means at all levels, state house, state Supreme Court seats, Secretary of State. No longer let the Koch brothers be the only people focused on these things. Let me put it this way. We love to get excited about the most exciting candidates. You think the Koch brothers care about who's exciting?
Mm-mm.
No. If you are in a state rep spot and you win, they love you because you're going to do what they say. Well, I love when we have excited candidates. We all get excited. But when it comes to putting our money into races or volunteering, if someone's running for an important seat that could affect democracy, and that could be school board too, as we now know, help them out. Don't just wait for the greatest candidate you've ever seen. One other thing I would say in the battle for democracy, if all we do is focus on swing races in certain states or any states, that's a short game mentality because we are thinking, well, the only thing we're going to measure ourselves on is if we win the 5 or 6 swing seats in that state next year. Long game, it's a disaster to leave 30 seats unchallenged in any state house.
Right.
That's 30 places where they never hear our message, mainly in rural parts of these states. It's 30 places where the incumbent never feels accountability, never feels challenged. We have to recruit to run everywhere. We need to celebrate someone running in a gerrymandered district as much as in a swing district. They are walking into a race they probably are going to lose. We should celebrate them for stepping up. And again, when you think about it as a long game, all of a sudden that makes perfect sense. 99 people running in Ohio in every district every 2 years, that's powerful. That's how you win the battle for democracy. That's the best thing for Tim Ryan is if there are 99 House districts. It's the best thing for Stacey Abrams because they're carrying the message. They're lifting turnout. If all you care about is this federal game and you don't worry about democracy, you'll never support those non-swing candidates. You won't even recruit them.
You know, I cannot help but underscore that by saying it's been one of my real disappointments that Democratic donors, Democratic political consultants, Democratic activists, Democratic voters are so focused on the immediate, the flashy, who's the candidate of the moment. And we haven't had people on our side of the political divide invest in media. The other side certainly has, as we know very well. They haven't invested in the kind of institutions that you mentioned, like ALEC, that has helped to put really regressive legislative agendas through state legislatures across the country. They are so candidate focused, and yeah, it's mostly a very narrow group of candidates who attract their money and their attention, and it's almost the opposite of playing the long game. So I could not agree with you more. Well, before we wrap up, I have to ask you, how do we inspire young people to actually get in that arena and run for these offices? And as you rightly point out, run for every one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think we reframe it as the broader battle for democracy. We have to say to these young people, don't let the last 10 years make you think that politics can't be about good public service. You know, there's a reason why back in the day, a John Glenn wanted to be in politics.
Right.
It was a noble pursuit. It's how you change the world for the good. It was patriotic. And we're seeing right now a whole army of people like Josh Mandel in Ohio or Josh Hawley running for the worst reasons. And so I think we have to find people and say, not long ago, this was where you went if you wanted to make a difference. And then frame it all as a much broader battle for democracy than it currently is seen. And we have to all do this with funders and voices. We need to celebrate everyone who runs. That itself is a victory for democracy. They just gave people a choice that those rigging these elections didn't want them to have. We need to come up with mechanisms to say to every one of these people who runs, we're not just going to encourage you to run. We're going to lift you. We got to take the billions that are spent in presidential races and smooth it out over 4 years, over the entire country. So when we ask someone to run and we celebrate the patriotism of them running, we also back it up with support. So it's got to be frame it better. But once you're in, we're still there. And if you lose, which many will lose in gerrymandered district, we don't walk away. But Democrats walk away from people who lose. And it's terrible. Some of my favorite people in Ohio that I keep up with all the time were veterans or people who were the first in their family to go to college who ran in impossible districts. Because of their runs, they actually lifted other people to victory, to State House or somewhere else. We need to say to them, that victory is partly because of you, and we're going to keep going with you because you did something that was really tough. In a long game, every election, even if you lose, if you do it right, is additive to the next election. More voters voted, more voters registered. And we have to surround all these candidates with that kind of thinking versus, thanks for running. You're not in a swing district, so you don't get support. And after you lose, it's like you never ran. That's a guaranteed long-term failure. We have to change all that. And I think then we'll get a lot more people interested.
I agree with that 100%, David Pepper. I'm so happy to talk with you today. And I'm so grateful that you are out there in the arena every day with your speaking and your writing and your advocacy and everything you've been doing, not only in Ohio, but around the world.
Thank you very much. This was an honor to speak with you.
David Pepper's book is called Laboratories of Autocracy. And you can follow him on Twitter for regular updates from the front lines of this crucial battle for our country's future. Well, that conversation is the perfect setup for me to introduce you to someone whom I really like and admire. Her name is Lena Hidalgo. She lives in Texas, and in 2018, at the ripe age of 27, she ran for and was elected Harris County judge. Now, Harris County is where Houston is, one of the biggest of all cities in our country. And Lena beat a three-time incumbent, becoming the first woman and first Latina to hold that office. Since then, she's demonstrated time and again that voters made the right choice. In 2020, Lena was featured on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list for her achievements in setting fairer tax rates and implementing disaster relief initiatives. And in 2021, she won a John F. Kennedy New Frontiers Award for all of her initiatives around COVID relief. I was so delighted to be speaking with her about her life and her service and what she's seeing on the ground in the battleground state of Texas. I want to start on a really basic level, Lena, asking you, what is a county judge? What does it do in Texas? I think people understand what a mayor is or even a governor, but a county judge, especially for such a big county like Harris County, is a new term for some of our listeners.
Absolutely. It's sort of a misnomer. You hear judge and you think, you know, a judicial role, mm-hmm. deciding on the outcomes of court cases. That is not this role. The county judge in Texas is the county executive. And so I am the county executive for Harris County, which is the third largest county in the country. It is larger than 26 states, about the population of Colorado. So we've got 4.7 million people, home to Houston, that's our largest city, and 33 smaller cities. And I help manage the budget, about a $5 billion budget, roads, bridges, flood control, libraries, our jail, our justice system, parks, you name it. But there's also a whole lot of good that can be done on top of that with that budget. So that's part of what I've been focused on. But it's me and four commissioners. We form the board that controls the budget for this huge county.
Well, I want to go back a little bit and learn more about you. You were born in Bogota, Colombia. In 1991, which is to say you are 30 years old, and came to the United States with your family in 2005. And by 2018, you were running for high office. Now, give us a little bit of the journey that you made to get to where you are today.
I will. And Secretary, I'll spoil the ending, which is you have a lot to do with it. You know, so I was born in Colombia during the drug war, and it was kidnappings and bombs blocks from our house. Of course, my parents wanted to keep us safe. My dad got a job in Peru, and that was about the time that Fujimori was president. He was later indicted, convicted for corruption and other charges. So then we moved to Mexico as well, a period of a lot of political upheaval, corruption, etc. By the time we moved to Texas, government was the last thing I wanted anything to do with. I was just cynical about it. And my parents sent me to public school, the one that was assigned to our area. And I was just horrified because before I'd watched them sort of make such an effort to keep me in private schools in Latin America. I could tell that was like the one thing that if we sacrificed everything else, they wanted to make sure I went to private school. Well, I show up to public school here, and it was an incredible school, tennis courts, film room, newspaper, dissecting pigs in biology class. And so I began to ask, as an aside, obviously not all public schools are that fantastic, but look, just the possibility is something that I could not contemplate back then. So I began to ask, what is it that makes government work, that makes it accountable, makes it deliver? And I studied that at Stanford. I went to work on promoting good government, free expression abroad, and thought I'd work sort of outside the system, beating it into shape as an activist, as a civil rights attorney. And then the 2016 election happened. I was in the middle of grad school. I was at NYU and Harvard at the Kennedy School. And your incredible strength, your incredible dignity, power, and my seeing if someone like Donald Trump can win and can run, why can't I? And it felt more dire than ever. So I'm one of thousands of women that you inspired to say, you know what? I'm going to see this through. I run unopposed, Secretary. Because people were so scared of the status quo here deep in the heart of Texas. Yes. And nobody thought we could win. And we won. And since then, we have changed so much. And so what I hope I can convey today to folks is change has happened in Texas. Change can happen in Texas. And it is so happening that they're coming at us with relentless attacks and cruelty. But it's because of our success. And we are undaunted.
I love that, Lena, because that is exactly what I have watched from afar from the time that you got elected. You were, by the way, a Run for Something candidate, a group that I have supported through my umbrella group, Onward Together. What did you learn about yourself when you started running for county judge in 2018?
just the resiliency that we all have. You know, I can't tell you how many meetings I had where people looked at me and I'm sitting here in front of you. I'd like to pretend I'm 5'2", but really I'm 5'1¾". And so, you know, people would just kind of look me up and down and said, you want to be the executive of this county? I'd always been a man, of course, needless to say.
Yeah, there'd never been a woman and never anyone Latina or Latino.
No. And the 5-member board, there had only ever been one woman elected for one of the commissioner seats. Now, these county leadership seats are ones that don't normally switch hands in competitive elections. It, historically, it's been when he dies or is convicted of a crime, or retires and appoints a pal. And so it was a lot of, that's very cute, sort of bless her heart, you know?
Yes, yes.
But there were groups like Run for Something and others who said, you know, we need to support this change. And a lot of people were behind us. And I learned that that is how change is achieved. You can never be sure. You can do everything right and still lose. You can
That's
do everything
right.
wrong and still win. But for many people, it was beyond their wildest dreams that this could be done. And it was so worth it just because of the policies we've implemented.
Well, you've emphasized transparent, accountable government, and you've made such a difference already. You had the first ever open transition process. You had 7 town hall meetings. You did a survey of your constituents. You've ensured that these commissioners meet where actual community members are attending. I mean, you've really opened up the process. And I think that's made a difference, don't you?
Absolutely. Before we got here, these billions of dollars, right, $5 billion annually, were distributed in meetings that lasted 45 minutes every 2 weeks. The budget process was whatever we gave them last year plus 2% for inflation. Most notably, and many folks may not know this, it's very common in the states where laws against this don't exist for local elected officials to fund their campaigns with contributions from the contractors that do business with
very
their locality.
Common. Absolutely.
So that's not just Harris County or just Texas's cities and county governments. So just imagine, right? We build these roads, these bridges, these buildings. It's enormously expensive projects, millions and sometimes billions. And then you see the coffers. There was just an expose in the Houston Chronicle where 70%+ of the contributions come from these contractors. So it was so funny because, you know, when I was running, I needed fundraising help. And groups like Run for Something and others, of course, the community, you know, helped us raise the funds we needed. But the sort of lead fundraisers in town, they wouldn't give me the time of day. Right when we won, I won't name names, but there was one in particular, you know, and this person said, okay, I'll do the fundraising for you now. And I said, well, the thing is, I feel uncomfortable taking contributions from people who do business with Harris County or who want to do business with Harris County. And then this person said, never mind. And I haven't talked to them since. But you know what? We've shown that it can be done. And then, you know, to your point about just the policy making, it's co-governance. So as we said, policy, be it homelessness, be it disaster recovery, be it veterans, we invite community members to design the actual program to the decision-making table. And sometimes that means we say, look, for XYZ reason, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now. It's not as important on the priority list. So it's an honest conversation, but I've found there are great ideas we would have never come up with.
I love hearing that because I think you've figured out a way to get people involved at every stage of the process. But I also think that your success, both your success being elected and your success in governing, is one of the many reasons why the Texas state government is trying to restrict voters' access to the polls, trying to make it harder to vote. What are you seeing happening on that front?
Well, they're scared. You know, they're scared, and we've made change, and it's good change. Largest environmental investment in 30 years, reducing the homeless population by 1,000 in the middle of this pandemic, so on and so forth. One of the things we did, and folks might remember this in the 2020 elections, it was Harris County that was in the news about 24-hour voting and drive-through voting and incredible turnout. We are having friendly competition with Georgia because we said, well, we have half the population in Harris County of the state of Georgia, but we had just as much turnout that first day of early vote, I remember. And it's because we put in $17 million for the most accessible, obviously secure elections, record turnout of both parties, and that made me very proud. And actually, it was a heavily Republican area, which most used drive-through voting since then in the election that we had before it was banned. So, you know, fast forward to 2021, when the state legislature met, they meet every 2 years. They made it a point to continue the pandering that Donald Trump, of course, had started about the election. In practical terms, what that means is now in Texas, a partisan poll watcher can stand as close as they want to a voter as the voter is casting their vote. And the statute says as close as they need to see and hear, so they determine how close that is.
Is this to intimidate voters? Is this to say, I'm watching you, I'm going to know who you voted for?
There's even been recordings that were found from far-right Republican activists saying, you know, we have to go. They identified the Hispanic and African-American areas of town and said, this is where we have to focus our poll watching. And I think, you know, folks have just been told over and over and over again, you know, these are the same folks that stormed the Capitol based on these lies. Mm-hmm. So it's the same fervor that is being spun into people here to say there's fraud, you got to go. And the other thing that we've seen recently, there's more to this. At some point, they tried to ban voting before 10 a.m. on Sundays. Of course, souls to the polls, right? That didn't make it through, but they tried with a straight face. The other thing that we are seeing now is they added sort of a web of technicalities to register and particularly request a mail-in ballot. So we're having to flag around 30% of mail ballot applications for rejection. And we're helping folks try to cure their ballots, send the information they need, but many counties don't have the resources or won't, right? More fundamentally, though, Secretary, the concern is every time you cry wolf, every time you call for a phony audit, every time you claim fraud, you're weakening the democratic principles behind our country. You're weakening faith in our democracy. One of my commissioners even, he refused to certify the 2021 November election because there was a power outage. That's a very scary thing that we're pushing back against.
We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know, beyond voting rights, it seems like Texas is becoming an incubator for a lot of regressive ideas. You've got obviously the new restrictive abortion law, but also laws that are being introduced to pull hundreds of books off the shelves of school libraries. How do you think these kinds of ideas get supported so that they are put into law, approved by a governor? And how do you fight back on that level where it's more diffuse than, you know, in one county in your state?
The banning of the books, you're referring to something that is taking hold across Texas and other states as well, with this pandering around critical race theory, et cetera. And it is very diffuse. We saw school board candidates this past election, November 2021, several long-serving, it's nonpartisan, but generally they were Democrats, you sort of knew they were, school board trustees defeated by far-right school board candidates who were supported by national groups very clearly. And they were, you know, anti-vaxxers, and they were espousing this kind of, you know, January 6th type mentality. And so there is a very organized effort to support that kind of candidate. One of those folks who was just elected this past November recently in a school board meeting very clearly intimated that more African-American teachers leads to more dropouts. And we had a big movement with the NAACP and other national leaders to fight back against this. So what do you do? Number one is call out this kind of racism that is now, it's always been under the surface, but is now more, seems to be that many people feel emboldened to just say this kind of stuff. Number two, organize. Groups like Run for Something, so many groups that support candidates at all levels, this past 2 years have made us realize your elections administrator, your clerk, your sheriff, your county executive, those are crucial positions. You have got to make sure if you donate, if you volunteer, if you organize, that you focus on those races. That's absolutely crucial because the other side is doing that too. And then the third piece I'll say is, you know, we can't feed into this divisiveness, right? So I always try to talk about sort of the far right. You know, I serve everyone, Democrats and Republicans. I work on flood control projects everywhere. I work on vaccinations everywhere, making sure they're done in a way that is fair. And so we need to take a moment and understand, okay, these folks are being told that their children will be frightened and traumatized for life by learning this critical race theory. Okay, let's unpack that. So it's to say, look, we're not promoting that. We don't. No, the goal is not to traumatize the children. So meet them where they're at, as opposed to saying, oh, that's a college course. You don't know what you're talking about, right? Folks are not coming from a bad place. Everyone's just in an echo chamber.
I think that makes great sense. And you mentioned vaccination. You ran a very highly regarded vaccination program in Harris County that seemed to get results, whereas in a lot of places there was much more confusion and divisiveness. Talk a little bit about how you set that up and how you and your team made it successful.
So, you know, we'll see what the listeners can remember for when they first got their vaccine. But a lot of what we were hearing from around the nation and around here is it was sort of like the Hunger Games, right? Like you needed to make sure that you knew which website and get the latest mm-hmm. intelligence on when to click register. And then you had to wait in line. And, mm-hmm. you know, lucky you if you had a pal who's a doctor. So we really wanted to move past that and have something that was fair, that had equity built in. So we had a randomized system. It was via phone, so you didn't need a computer. You could register in all kinds of languages. Harris County is one of the, if not the most diverse county in the country, and so many languages. And then folks were selected at random with additional entries for the people who were older or had pre-existing conditions or this kind of thing. But, you know, with everything we do, we try to see even the funds we've given for landlords and for renters and just support on all kinds of issues, most recently on crime, where we focus our programs is where the data tells us, you know, this is where there's the most crime. This is where there's the most underinvestment. It's mm-hmm. not about who has a buddy downtown or, you know, what's the latest group that's freshest on your mind. And maybe that loses me some political alliances, but I don't think it necessarily does. People see the work. Either. And I think I'm setting a tone. I know I am. And I hope mm-hmm. that more folks come into government who are sort of don't feel compelled to adopt the ickiness of government. And what I've learned over this past 3 years I've been in office is it's not naive to say, you know, I don't do it that way. Mm-hmm. Apply through this, you know, apply through this committee and we'll see. And people get it and they stop kind of asking you for icky things. And you can actually, you know, you can do good stuff like that.
I think that's a slogan for your next campaign. Get the icky out of politics, right?
Right.
I love it. Well, you know, sometimes we hear only the negative about what's going on at the state level, one outrage after another. So what advice would you give someone who, you know, maybe might want to get involved, but is only seeing the negative, seeing the icky, they're not sure that it's for them? How would you make the case that people like you, Lena, people with energy and a positive approach and good common sense, you know, should get involved in politics and government?
One thing I think about a lot is we have ups and downs, and the downs are heartbreaking many times, but the other side is not giving up, so we can't either. You know, I'm not going to pretend like it's easy. I'll give you an example. We have funded criminal justice reform, but also a lot of crime fighting initiatives, and we try to do really smart things. So I don't want to contribute to mass incarceration 2.0, but it's been record levels of funding. And they still say I defunded the police. Mm. And, you know, my detractors are over here saying I'm releasing violent criminals. So there's people that really believe this, you know, and mm-hmm. of course it's scary. Something as scary as violence. So folks, you know, the vitriol and the nastiness of folks that really think I'm out there as part of some conspiracy to cause crime, right? You know how this goes, and to be able to walk through that with your head held high is important. And anyone who jumps into this, they need to fully expect that there's going to be something like this. But that's mm-hmm. a reason to prevail, is so this cynical bullshit, frankly, doesn't win, right?
That's
so
right.
that we can be civil and disagree on policy, but not this kind of stuff. You know, I did not think I'd have to deal with a pandemic and floods and fires and a winter storm. But I'll tell you, it is so worth it. Giving early childhood education to kids, keeping somebody safe from domestic violence, keeping someone off the streets. My God, it's setting a community up for competitiveness for a generation. So, you know, it is so worth it. It is not easy, but they're not giving up either. So let's keep going.
Oh, a woman after my own heart. I love that, Lena. And you're 100% right. I mean, if you believe that things can be better, people can have access to a better life, that we can work together to achieve common goals, you can't give up in the face of relentless criticism and negativity. And I know that's true about you. I am so happy to talk to you today.
And I'm so proud, Secretary, that you're in this fight still. So many of us, I just have to say it, as I face these attacks, you know, I think of you, and I hope that folks get a picture of me cheering them on as well. And we could have a big group here of pushing for positive change. Thank you for including me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Judge Lena Hidalgo. To keep up with this rising star from the Lone Star State, you can follow Judge Lena Hidalgo on Twitter. And if my conversations with Lena and David have got you thinking about how you can help strengthen our democracy, you know, there are so many ways to do your part. Run for something, whether it's for your school board, your city council, or some other local office. As Lena told us, and as she has demonstrated, it's worth it. Or support local candidates with your time, your money, or your big Instagram following. Show up at a local meeting. Let your representatives know that they have to answer for their decisions. And make sure, please, that you and everyone you know is registered to vote and that your registration is up to date. Don't get purged or dropped off the rolls. As David reminded us, we've got to get better at playing the long game so that together we can make our states, once again, vital laboratories of democracy. You and Me Both is brought to you by iHeartRadio. We're produced by Julie Subrin, Kathleen Russo, and Rob Russo, with help from Huma Abedin, Oscar Flores, Lindsay Hoffman, Brianna Johnson, Nick Merrill, Laura Olin, Lona Valmoro, and Benita Zaman. Our engineer is Zach McNeese, and the original music is by Forrest Gray. If you like You and Me Both, please tell someone else about it. And if you're not already a subscriber, what are you waiting for? You can subscribe to You and Me Both on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.